Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. Last week, finally got back on track, 4-1 of my blazing five. We now have RJ Bell waiting, but first, if you didn't hear Friday, here's my blazing five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins' blazing five. Browns at Cowboys.
I'll take Dallas -5.5. First, Dak Prescott against really good competition. Rams and the Seahawks, good numbers this year. He's always been a good home quarterback since the beginning of last year. His quarterback rating at home was 108.8. And their offense right now, number one in the league. But this is about the Browns' defense. It's allowed 7 touchdown passes of 10-plus air yards this year, most in the NFL. I think there's a lot of points in this game, and I don't know if Cleveland can keep up because they're more of a running team. Cleveland's back end worries me. And what do we know about Cleveland? They beat Cincinnati with a rookie quarterback and Washington with kind of a rookie quarterback if you consider starts. How good are they? Dallas, this is a major step up in competition for Cleveland. They went to Seattle and got down to the last play against the Seahawks and went down in Los Angeles. A pass interference call is the only difference losing to the Rams. I think Dallas is the better team. There's a lot of points. I'll easily swallow the 5.5. Cowboys win 33-26.
Colts at Bears.
Like it, I love it. Bears getting points at home. I think they're the better team. I think Matt Nagy, the coach, wanted to start Nick Foles 3 weeks ago, but the GM wouldn't let him. Matt Nagy gets his quarterback, Nick Foles. Let's it rip. Big arm. Big games. This is the coach's kid. He wants this guy, and he went and got him in the offseason. How good are the Colts? They lost to the Jaguars and beat the crappy Vikings and the really crappy Jets. What are they? Good old line, old quarterback. And I worry because the Bears' defense is number 2 in the league in getting offenses off the field on third down. I think here I get a clever coach who finally has his quarterback. I get points. I'm at home. I like the Foles magic to continue. 24-23, Bears over the Colts.
Seahawks at Dolphins.
Favorite pick of the week. I love Miami +6. Russell Wilson may save the day, but here's why. Miami gets 3 days of extra prep time because they were on Thursday Night Football. That is huge because I think it's a very good coaching staff, and staffs that are good take advantage of it. Seattle has the furthest trip you can make in America after dramatic wins. They've been in wildly dramatic wins over Dallas and New England. Ryan Fitzpatrick is very good when comfortable, and Seattle makes every quarterback comfortable because they have no pass rush. And the Dolphins are also playing clean football. One of 2 teams in the NFL that have not had a turnover in 2 weeks. Green Bay's the other. Dolphins defense can get after you. The Seahawks offensive line's a mess. I think Russell Wilson may come in and save the day late, but in warm, sticky weather, long trip for Seattle, I will take the 6 points. Seattle wins 27-26.
Chargers at Buccaneers.
This is a lot of points. I'll take Tom Brady and the Bucs -7. This game's about comfort versus discomfort. Tom Brady against the Chargers defense that's without Ingram, Derwin James. They don't take the ball away since the beginning of last year. Derwin James is their best defensive player. So you don't have 2 studs for them. That means Tom Brady getting more comfortable at home is comfortable. Meanwhile, Justin Herbert will face a defense for Tampa that gets a pass rush with only 4, the first or second best linebacking core in the league. You cannot run on the Bucs defense. Number 2 in yards per play allowed in the NFL. 4.5 yards per play. That is it. Justin Herbert gets yards but has struggled in the red zone. Chargers settling for field goals. He will be uncomfortable all day. I believe Todd Bowles is the best current coordinator in the NFL. And I think Tampa has the best or second best linebacking core. Justin Herbert. The Chargers have only one of 3 teams to score 20 or less. Brady's going to be comfortable. Justin Herbert's going to be uncomfortable, and it's the defense of Tampa that will decide the game, not the offense. It's the defense that will shut down and create turnovers for a short field. I'll take Tampa 33-23.
Bills and Raiders.
This is an easy one. I'll take Buffalo -3. There is no home field advantage anymore, so it's basically a neutral field. I get the better quarterback, the better coach, and the significantly better defense. There are a lot of people that think Buffalo's a top 4 team in this league. A lot of coaches are really on Buffalo. Their offense is number 2 passing. the offense the last 2 years. Look at the leap in their offense. Josh Allen's emergence. This is now an elite offense. The Raiders' run defense is 30th. They can't get you off the field. Again, maybe if it's the second home game for the Raiders in Vegas and it's a wild crowd, it's different. But this is almost a neutral field. This is a Buffalo team that is well coached, will force the Raiders to play real defense because they press the ball down the field. Buffalo wins this game 32-27. I think it could get worse than this, but it's at least this, 32-27 Bills.
We get to RJ Bell at pregame.com, Fox Sports Radio. Last week I was kind of hot, felt pretty good. In fact, there was a pick. I like Cleveland over Washington, and my friend Jason McIntyre talked me out of it, which puts me in a bad mood. But let's not waste any time. I'm going to go to my picks. Are you ready to go, RJ?
Yeah, you're letting Jason talk you out of picks, Colin.
I know. So let's start with this. I'm going to take the Bears, whether it's 3 or 2.5, and here's my reason over the Colts. First of all, the Bears' defense is second in the league on third down percentage. They'll get an old Phillip Rivers off the field. And I have questions about the Colts. They beat an awful Jets team and a really bad Vikings team, and they lost to the Jaguars. How good are they? I think I get the better clever coach. Nick Foles, very good, debuting last week in Nagy's system. I'll take the points and the Bears winning straight out. What do the wise guys think?
I'm going to give you agreement here. Now, the Colts have amazing stats. You make a good point about strength of schedule. Weak for the Colts, but their stats, they've actually outgained opponents by almost 500 yards in these games and by 28 first downs. And they're only giving up 132 yards passing per game, which is in the 2020 amazing. Okay, but the competition, great question. Nick Foles, it feels like, it was a foregone conclusion. He entered the game. He came back. That's what he does. At the low point for the Bears in that game, they were 16-1 to win. They were 16-1 underdogs. So it was an amazing comeback. Now, think about this. You have an undefeated Bears team playing a non-undefeated team, and the Bears are a home dog. The times that's happened in game where there's been a 3-0 home dog, it's only been twice in the last 30 years. So it's just such an unusual situation. You have a 3-0 team that's a home dog against a non-undefeated team, which tells me the Bears are getting no respect. One thing concerns me, though. If you look at it, the Bears in the first three quarters, 33 points total. In the fourth quarter, they've scored 41. So this has been about comebacks for them. Is that luck, or is that just finally the game plan exerting itself? So I'm going to give you agreement because I think there's value, but I do think the Bears have to worry about they can't always come back at the end of the game.
All right, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys -5.5. Two reasons. The Browns' opponents wins over the Bengals in Washington. This is a step up in class. The other issue is the Browns' defense. Whereas PFF ranks their running backs number one and their offensive line top three, their defense has allowed 7 touchdown passes on 10-plus air yards this year, most in the NFL. They are weak in the back end. And Dak acknowledged this weekend he and McCarthy believe this is a passing team. And Dak at home, since the start of last year, leads the NFL in passing yards at home and is a top 6 passer rating. I don't like the Browns on the road against a passing team. They have hit and miss pressure. I'll swallow the points here. Cowboys by a touchdown. What do the wise guys think?
Disagreement for me here. I believe that Dallas has finally proven itself. Their stats are not indicative of the truth. Usually, if the stats say one thing and the scoreboard says the other, I trust the stats that eventually the stats will prevail. But Dallas is now 19 games in, if you count last year and this year, and they're below 500. And they've had amazing stats the entire time. They look like an 11-win team in a 16-game season statistically, but they're below 500. Middlecoff, the guy on your podcast network who I listen to, former scout, he said Mike Nolan is the worst defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's just not qualified is what Middlecoff is saying. You look at this team, could they really stand Dallas having a bad coach? Apparently, that was the problem in the past. I don't know if Jason Garrett was bad or not, but no one liked him. And now you look and think, well, McCarthy, what's he good at? Calling plays, right? Why isn't he calling plays? You've got a holdover from the last staff calling plays. It feels like a mess in Dallas. And with the Browns, I consider them, as you said, an elite running team. Dallas's defense is one of those 26-minute defenses where if they can play less than 30 minutes, energy-wise, they're fine. You let them get beat up a little bit by the Browns, I think second half is a big problem. So a disagreement, I will say this. If the Browns are within a touchdown in at halftime, I'm going to be looking to bet the Browns in the second half. I believe that's when their physical dominance will hurt that thin, very thin Dallas defense.
All right, agreement and disagreement, 1-1. My favorite bet of the week, the Miami Dolphins, who played on Thursday, get 3 extra days of rest and prep. That's big for a good coaching staff, and I think Miami has it. Seattle travels cross-country, probably loses a few hours of prep. The Dolphins' offense is one of 2 teams without a turnover in the last 2 weeks. They're playing clean. The Packers are the other, by the way. The Dolphins' defense, though, is getting to the quarterbacks. 4 sacks, 10 quarterback hits in week 3, and we know Seattle's offensive line is rated among the league's bottom 3. The Seahawks also don't create any pass rush at all. They probably make a move at the trading deadline, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, when comfortable, is a very effective quarterback. I'm going to take the 6. I think Seattle may win it late because Russell Wilson does that, but 6 feels too much for a good staff and a capable quarterback when not pressured.
A very sharp play. Agreement here, because this is not obvious, right? You're thinking Seattle less than a touchdown. A lot of Barney at the bar, as I call them. They're going to like this. They're not going to like yours. I like yours. Dolphins. Now, Seattle, they've given up the most passing yards in 3 games in NFL history. Fitzpatrick, here's the QBR rankings this year. Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Fitzpatrick. Number 5 behind those borderline legends, Josh Allen, perhaps. Okay, you mentioned it. The Eastern time zone, not usually a problem for Seattle. They've actually won 9 straight.
Yeah.
But this is a long trip. Think about going across the country, diagonal, all the way down to Florida. And Seattle's off wars. Think about that. New England,
yes,
a war. Dallas, a war. And they're 3-0, Seattle, against the spread. They've combined, though, the last 2 games, they've covered by a combined 2 points. So really, they've played to expectations. They've just been very football sexy games with Russell Wilson. I don't know how effective they've been, and we do know for sure, above expectation, not that much. And we do know, like you said, Fitzpatrick, when he's comfortable, it's a great comment. So I think it's a high-scoring game, but I'll take the points.
Okay, this is one of my favorite bets. Bills at the Raiders. I'm going to take the Bills -3, and here's why. I think the Raiders' defense against the Bills is not close. Buffalo. Coaching staff, I'll take Buffalo. Quarterback play, I'll take Buffalo. I think the emergence behind the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, of Josh Allen is pretty remarkable. I think the Bills, as you told me earlier, they may be one of the top 4 or 5 teams in this league. And, you know, the Raiders fly all the way back home. There's really no home field advantage now. You know, Mark Davis is not going to let any fans in, which is admirable. But then you're just telling me basically a slight edge, a neutral field. I think Buffalo's got the better defense, the better quarterback, and I think they have a better coaching staff. I think they win by a touchdown or more. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement here. So Bills, your pick, agreement. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and you thought it was sharp. I think it is very important that it's now the second time the Bills are playing a team the week after Belichick and New England. So the Raiders are a limited team. And let's give some credit to Gruden. He's been able to coach them up in certain spots that even with their offensive limitations, they've done pretty well. But what does Belichick do so well? He makes you play left-handed, as they say. Go to your second option. And didn't have a lot of answers, the Raiders. Now, Bills get to see that game plan. Belichick did. And we got a very good coach in McDermott. I think that's a big advantage for the Bills. Josh Allen, in his career, his 3 top games, week 1, week 2, week 3.
That's right.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing. He looks like Ben Roethlisberger.
And I tell you this, as a Steelers fan, that's a hell of a compliment. And I'll say this, if you go into the next gen stats and look at his accuracy. The first 2 years of his career, Josh Allen was in the bottom five with expectations of completions and how many he completed, which is a play-by-play metric that they do a great job on. He's now in the top half of the league. He's never going to be the most accurate guy. But when you go from bottom five to top half of the league, that's a big, big step up. By the way, the Raiders, they've been outgained in every game this season.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they have exactly the same number of first downs as their opponent. This is a 500 team at best. Bills are a juggernaut right now. I like the Bills. One quick comment. These teams, six games combined, 6-0 over the total, and they've been over by a combined 78 points. A lot of scoring probably in this game.
But now we'll have a bonus pick, plus let's go to the Tom Brady pick. Now, I've been riding the Buccaneers and been successful. I would prefer if this line was 6.5. I am going to roll with Brady and the Bucs at home -7 against the Chargers, and here's why. Brady, first of all, has been great. He's won his last 8 games against rookie quarterbacks, but that doesn't really impress me. What impresses me is this. The Bucs defense, I would make an argument, is the best in the league. They're allowing 4.5 yards per play this season. Herbert is a young quarterback. And experience in the NFL is 8 quarters. Todd Bowles, to me, has an argument as one of the top 2 to 3 coordinators in the game today since Kyle Shanahan became a head coach from being a coordinator. I think Tampa gets a pass rush with only 4. They don't have to blitz. I think they have the most athletic linebackers, maybe second to the Steelers in the league. And the Chargers are one of 3 teams to score 20 or fewer in all 3 games. Why? Herbert's moving the ball. But red zone is surgical. That's where veterans and stars score. And Herbert's neither right now. High-scoring game for Tampa. And I think Bowles creates massive mistakes for young Justin Herbert. And the defense carries the day. I'll take Tampa -7.
This proves one of the corollaries of our pod. The longer Colin does his analysis, the less Vegas likes it. Biggest disagreement of the week. Now, we talk about look-ahead lines, which means a week ahead you can see what the line is. And you know what's nice about it? The only change, Colin, in that week is the one game, right? The Sunday game, probably. So the look-ahead line here was Chargers, 4.5-point underdogs. So it's 7 now. 4.5 it was. What's changed? Tampa Bay looked mighty good, no doubt, as a road favorite against a devastated Denver team by injuries. Devastated. Okay. And the Chargers, what? Oh, they looked bad against Carolina, no doubt about it. They were -4 in turnovers. That happens. That's luck. You can't overcome that. But if you look at the Chargers on the season against this Tampa Bay team, they have 190 more yards over their opponents than Tampa Bay does. So literally better by almost 200 yards compared to Tampa Bay and better by 12 first downs. The stats for the Chargers are better than Tampa Bay. And you mentioned Tom Brady against rookie quarterbacks. You mean Bill Belichick against rookie quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, I mean, that stat didn't blow me away. But I do think Bowles is really, he's terrific.
I've actually really appreciated your thoughts on him because people see a guy become head coach. And they struggle and think, oh, he's not a good coach. It's a different skill set.
Yes.
Mike Tomlin's a better head coach than he would be a coordinator. Some guys are technical. Some guys are leaders. Bowles is technical. I agree with you. Last thing, Brady, his QBR, 27th. Now, here is, and we'll do this every week that you pick Tampa or against them, is literally here is the all-time leaderboard on quarterbacks 43 or older with wins. Vinny Testaverde, 2. Tom Brady, 2. That's the end of the list. So literally, those are the 2 people in the history of the NFL, 43 or older, to win at quarterback. Brady is 43 or older. He might be Superman, but as they say, Father Time undefeated. He's 27th in QBR. I really like the Chargers.
RJ Bell, pregame.com, straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio, 6 to 7 Eastern, at RJ in Vegas Twitter account. Bonus pick time! All right, if I had a bonus pick, I went back and forth on it, I would take Detroit +4.5. Here's the reason. Usually the Saints are a clean team. They're now most penalty yards in the NFL. We expected them to be good defensively. They're tied for 27th in scoring defense. Well, at least they'll score, and they offer multiple threats offensively.
They're 0-3 without Michael Thomas. It's a to-be-announced. This is 4.5 at home for a Detroit team that is usually in games and rarely blown out. Again, it's a number. If it's 3, I probably go Saints. But I would take Detroit, feeling pretty good about themselves, a coaching staff that has to win or they're in trouble. What would the wise guy say?
I give this a slight disagreement. A lot of sharps would like this, right? It's the less sexy team. You know, Detroit hasn't been playing great. Here's why I don't like it. First off, you make a good point about Michael Thomas. Steve Fezzik on our show has 3 players that are non-quarterbacks worth 1.5. Michael Thomas is one of them, one of the 3 most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL.
Wow.
All right, so that's important. But here is the key to me to this game. In the last 7 years, week 1 and 2, so the very beginning of the season,
yeah,
this Saints team's been amazing throughout these years generally. But in week 1 and 2, they've been 3-11 straight up, 3-11, and 2-12 against the spread. They start slow.
Yeah.
Now, in October, going back to 2015, the Saints, 17-0 against the spread, 16-1 straight up. This team, there's something about early in the year, and there's something about when they turn that corner, they get so, so much better. Last thing, I'm going to debunk, or I've been trying to debunk it. It's like a tidal wave against me. This Drew Brees talk, I don't care about people who think they're scouts watching arm strength. I want to hear how he performed. Now, check this out. Last year, there was talk about Drew Brees and his arm strength, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say we look at 18 and 19 and 20, so 3 years, and say, what was the worst QBR you've had, right? Meaning of the 3 years, let me see the bad year. Okay, Patrick Mahomes, his worst year was 2nd. Drew Brees' worst year is this year, but he's number 6 in QBR. Now, everyone loves Russell Wilson, right? He's next. His worst year was 11. Deshaun Watson's worst year was 18. Prescott, 17. Carson Wentz, 30. Now, think about this. These are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and there's only 2 guys, right? Mahomes and Drew Brees. It's been in the top 6 every year. In fact, only 2 guys in the top 11 every year. So if anyone's been super consistent, I know he's going to hit the wall at some point, but if this is his bad year and he hasn't had Michael Thomas for, really, he was hindered that first game. He hasn't had him at full strength for the entire season, and he's still got the 6th best QBR? I don't understand all the arm strength stuff because I'm not an expert at that, but his stats are as good as anyone's. How do you complain, Saints?
All right. Well, I was 4-1 last week, so that therefore means I'm very smart.
Well, I agree about that.
Well, I will say this. You know, that Chargers-Bucks one, because I, you know me, I don't like big numbers. I don't. The other thing I keep thinking about with that Chargers-Bucks game, I want to revisit it for our audience. Brandon Ingram's out, the edge rusher, Derwin James. And I don't think their defense, I think they're an injury away from being a little bit of a mess on the defensive side too. But I do get your argument that Brady, at this point, is a highly limited quarterback who's still trying to kind of find his way around this offense. But they've been good. They've been good for me, and I think Justin Herbert's going to be overwhelmed at times by Bowles' schemes. But at least, listen, neither one's the Jets, so that's good.
Well, listen, finally, I was telling our audience actually that you finally let go of the bag of bricks of Sam Darnold. I heard the, you know, right and wrong. You really threw him overboard, and that was smart.
I thought Thursday, contextually, despite having nothing to work with, he was actually pretty good. But in the end, it's
Colin, you've been saying that. I literally have heard you say, you know, there was that one throw in the 3rd quarter, and he almost completed it, and I think that's the sign of him turning it around. I mean, at what point do you just turn it around?
Well, I think you're going to have a decision in New York when you're the worst team in the league or 2nd worst, and you're going to have an opportunity to get all 2 of the 3 and maybe all 3 quarterbacks, or do you take 6 draft picks with the 2 first you have this year and the 2 first you have next year? Le'Veon Bell opts out. So the Jets will have more 1st and 2nd picks than anybody the next 2 years and more cap space. And do you just defend Darnold? It depends on the coach. If I get Urban Meyer, I keep Darnold. But if I can't get a great coach, which the Jets probably don't, then I probably need a superstar quarterback and I go Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, think about his 5th-year option. They got to decide after this year. It's going to be, my understanding is, upwards of $30 million. And think about that. Are you paying 30 mil plus for Sam Darnold a year ahead of time when they got to decide that?
Yeah, I mean, these are, again, if I could get the draft picks and a great Lincoln Riley, I would stay with him. But remember, the Jets could not land Matt Rhule from Baylor, and he's from New York. So you're probably going to get a second-tier coach, and Darnold with a second-tier coach, you forget it. Now, Trevor Lawrence with a second-tier coach is far more promising because I think he's the best prospect since Elway, even better than Andrew Luck as a prospect.
Well, we'll start that argument soon, I'm sure. Trevor Lawrence may become great, but here's what you look at. He's played three games where he hasn't been a double-digit favorite in college. So let's say three competitive games. His completion percentage is like 50% in those games. So he's done well beating up on the ACC, not so well against better players. Doesn't mean that he won't change. So far, though, I think it's a lot of measurables, but not the performance.
Good stuff, RJ. Good talking to you.
Thank you.